Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now here's Rich Weber, chief pilot for the Jacksonville Sheriff's Aviation Unit, an aviation speaker from Jacksonville, Florida, who is today's host.
Hi, I'm Rich Weber with the host for FAA Production Studios at Sun and Fun 2012, right here in the back porch of the Seaplane Pilots Association. And I'm here with Mr. Billy Henderson. He's the founder of Sun and Fun. Welcome, Mr. Henderson.
Welcome to you.
Thank
glad
you.
Glad to have you here.
Well, great. It's nice to have you be here. Boy, there's a lot of history here, a lot of things you can tell us about, and we'd like for you to share some of it with us, if you will, and maybe even start back just kind of how it all got started.
Well, I'll try to move along because it's quite a long story. But
I'm sure.
I took my first airplane ride when I was 6 years old, and I was so impressed I never forgot the guy's name that flew me flying, and that was Reed Johnson in Winter Haven. And I was fascinated with that. And a year later, I took my second airplane ride in a trimotor Ford out of Lakeland. And it sticks with you forever. The memories, the people I met, et cetera. And then after I was married a few years, and I built boats and cars and restored airplanes and stuff for years as a hobby. And I did a lot of craftsman work, and I had respect for that. And I went to Jacksonville to move my brother back to Lakeland. He had been living there a number of years, and he had an airplane under construction in his garage. He's building an EA biplane, which I'd never heard of EA at that time. Mm-hmm. And then was a movie star there looking at that airplane and found out, you can't believe who has an enthusiasm over aircraft. And I helped him move to Lakeland. I looked, and a neighbor across the street had a disassembled Aronca in his garage. I walked over to look at it, and he just got a job in Radio Free Europe, said he had to move the airplane, and he sold it to me, and I brought it back to Lakeland. Said, God, there must be a lot of people does stuff like this that you never hear about. Right. So I put a notice in the newspaper and said I'd like to meet with all the people that are restoring or building or working on airplanes in the area and discuss a possibility of putting together a group. And 22 people showed up. I made a bunch of new friends that worked on airplanes, and then I met a doctor that I found out later used to ride with out of Miami and a PBY for years on aerial survey and stuff. Right. And he was building a Cuda amphibian in his garage, and he needed help, so I got busy helping him build the airplane. Another friend came over, and we was helping him cover the wings, and I was telling him we'd need something in Florida like Oshkosh. Doc says, you ever been to Oshkosh? I said, no, they just moved there. And he said, I'll take you up there. And he and I and my wife flew up there and visited, met Paul and Audrey Poberesny. And it was such an inspiration, the emphasis on hands-on skills and et cetera, and which I agreed with, and met a jillion wonderful people, and said, we went home and said, we've got to do something like that. And we was in the doctor's garage, and a friend said, why don't you go to the chapter, you start it, and ask them, will they support you? So I made a motion, we have a fly-in at Lakeland, and they backed me. And I went to the mayor, and they were laughing, and said, you'll never get permission, and I happened to live here all my life. I knew all the commission. She said, I'll help you. So we had the first fly-in on the north side in 75, and had 365 airplanes, and just under 2,000 people showed up.
That was a great turnout for
the
first
year. Had 900
year.
People to a banquet in downtown on the new civic center they had just built, so the city loved us for that. Mm-hmm. And we went to a full week the second year because we had people landing for 2 days after it was over that could. So we went to a full week, and it doubled the next year. And then we decided it's so big we was going to disturb all the fixed base operations, so I said we better move across the airport and lease some land. So we went to the city and discussed it, and they gave us a lease on 10 acres to get started, and my dear wife jumped in and helped. I don't know if you know what a hard-shelled gopher is.
No.
But she helped dig up, fill gopher holes and haul the gophers across the line because they were protected species, and kill rattlesnakes and help clear woods. Very low-key lady.
That was quite a job.
Even the mayor came out and waded the creek and then found out that we didn't have a road into here and went back and had them put in the road. So she was a great help. We've named one of the streets after her when she passed away. Right. So it just grew tremendously. They started building permanent buildings and et cetera. And the things that's different when you start something, it's not easy. I borrowed $10,000 on the house to rent a bulldozer to start clearing the roads and stuff. And people kept coming on board that had an enthusiasm for airplanes and people were the key.
Just getting everybody together.
So it was amazing at the growth and all the uniqueness and the airplanes that come and go. And I shared Paul's feelings about people and about skills and craftsmanship and et cetera. And so it just grew by leaps and bounds. So I've helped build a few airplanes and helped restore three or four of my own. Still flying one I restored back in '90. And been a great experience. I met people from all over the world and all over the place. My wife just passed away and we had to fly away, and we had people from countries all over the world. And we visited 27, she was a great lady and she'd do anything to help. We had a list of 24 airports. We helped start an air show, an aviation convention, or some special activity, and even build some museums in different parts of the country. And we visited all over the United States. So we got people to take our ashes back to all our old airports to scatter them in the next few months.
Really?
And she was a great lady, and she had friends all over the world. And we had 25 Royal Air Force cadets come all the way from London to help celebrate her flyaway.
That's something right
we
there.
We had over 300 people showed up that was friends of her. So she was a great help, and she even learned how to fly and never got a license because she just wanted to know she could take me home if I had a heart attack.
Get you back home.
She was a great flyer, and she wanted to know how to take off and land and get the airplane with you. So she is a great lady and greatly admired by people all over the planet.
Oh, she certainly was.
It's amazing. But the friends we made, the people we've met, and the aircraft's come and gone. I remember Emmett Talley and the Birdman was the first true ultralight light sport aircraft in America, landed here in the first year at Lakeland. He flew over from the East Coast. He was a Grumman engineer and built a real light airplane.
Right.
We had to run out and hold him. The wind was blowing pretty hard. But then John Moody came down and he helped get the ultralight movement going down here. And John was the first one to launch a ultralight foot launch because they wouldn't let them put landing gears on them. And he flew an easy riser with a motor, came to Lakeland and visited and flew all around the state. And so he set the pace, and I was in Australia and met the air minister and the American ambassador, and I said, "You guys are eons ahead of us in light aircraft." And the ambassador said, "It never occurred to us to discriminate against paraplegic." The American ambassador said, "You know, get home, call and tell them what you just heard in Washington." And I didn't think he'd answer the phone, but I called and he put me right through. I guess he had called home.
Really?
They sent Mike Zachary down, and we sat in my office with Paul and Mr. Baker from AOPA for hours with Mike Zachary and wrote Part 103. And the next year we had 300 ultralights here in National Geographic.
Right here at the show next year.
So we set a standard for ultralights. And then we met so many wonderful people. Maddie Laird got to be a good friend, him and his wife. Maddie built the first assembly line in America for aircraft and built the Laird Swallow. Mm-hmm. And very few people recall it, but he was quite a genius. And he built the Laird Super Solution, as the airplane that Doolittle flew Tri-Nation. Mm-hmm. And I got to meet him and his wife and Jimmy Doolittle and get to know them and autograph some pictures at the house with them. And what a great bunch of people. And then you find all walks of life. And the other thing that I remember well is when my mother had cancer and was passing, and I flew over 400 kids for a penny a pound and raising money for Cancer Society. And then I worked my way up to the board of directors at Oshkosh and helped them start the Young Eagle program. I love seeing kids come back 40 years later.
Thank you.
Thank you, and just retired flying airlines.
Right.
Never been up in an airplane. It touches a lot of lives.
It does. That's a lot of accomplishments. It's a lot of really rewarding
great memories.
It is.
In fact, we started the first U.S. Power Squadron in Lakeland when I was building boats and something. And the aviation thing just like getting bit by a bug, you know?
Right. You're hooked.
I found so many wonderful people. Even had an invite over to England by the Queen of England, sent me an invite to come over to the Poplar Flying Association. We were members of that.
That's incredible.
We helped them get some things going in Australia and New Zealand, visit Christchurch. I flew the first home built in New Zealand. Never knew it was unflown until I flew it.
And you were the first one.
Congratulated me on test flying the airplane.
You were their guinea pig. You didn't know it.
He said, you want to fly to God? I'd love to fly around Christchurch and look at it. And I took a guy with me, and he came back and said, boy, that's wonderful. You just test flew the first one ever finished in New Zealand. Great bunch of people.
You're glad it went well then, weren't you?
Flew beautiful. Chris Hines from Canada was the designer. I knew Chris personally. Right. Brilliant aeronautical engineer. So I didn't worry about it. So I got to meet thousands of wonderful people. I got to fly all kind of rare, weird airplanes that I'd never been able to get near.
Sure.
I flew the DC-3 with EAA and the B-17 bomber, and I got to fly both their Spirit of St. Louis replicas and Stinsons and all kind of stuff. And, you know, I got a logbook full of weird airplanes.
I bet you do. That's an incredible experience.
So it was tremendous, and that's where the enthusiasm. You meet so many great people and creative people and talented people. My own son told me one time, said, Dad, you can see talent in people that don't even realize you have and help them be successful. He said, I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm any. In fact, one of my proudest moments this week was Patty Wagstaff stopped her car and jumped out and gave me a big hug and a kiss because I was with her when she was learning to fly.
Right. That's something to be. Yeah.
And now she's a blonde. She bleached her hair. So she's having more fun.
Well, they say
she's a sweet lady. She never got real egotistical or nothing. Great woman. But I knew so many of those folks like that. And I served on the board at Oshkosh for 12 years. My wife and I volunteered up there for 39 years. We missed the 40th because of her cancer. But they begged us to fly up last spring and offered to send plane tickets and have a car and a hotel if we'd just come up for a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
She just couldn't handle it.
Right.
But she is a great lady. And the last year I ran Sun and Fun, I think we had guests from 72 nations. And through the gates was 670,000 people in a
week.
That's
incredible. It's an incredible air show.
The FAA counted traffic, and they said over 10,000 airplanes in and out of here in a week.
That's a feat in itself, isn't it?
Oh, God. We had 400 workshops and forums in a week on every subject in the world, and all of them volunteered.
Yeah, the volunteer staff is huge here, and I know you've something that you've probably built on.
Oh, gosh. It's amazing that the people that will come forward just to pursue something they love, if you just got an opportunity and a place for them to be. And
point them in the right direction.
Yeah. In fact, our whole family was involved for many years to get the thing started, and a lot of friends from all over the place. And tribute to EAA, Paul and Audrey Poberesny came down twice a year from the first year and help me get ready and then come back and help with the convention. Because it was up to their standards too, and I volunteered up there all the time, and this is the first year they didn't make it.
It's a shame, man.
Yeah, I was praying they'd come, especially for Adair's services.
And they were a lot of help, weren't they?
Oh, God, they were tremendous. I'd run out of money putting up fence, and they'd say, you need some more fence over here. And I said, that's the end of my budget for the year.
Great.
They'd slip me a check.
There you go. The next thing you know, it's up.
It was amazing. Met a lot of great folks. And like Tom Davis, that founded Piedmont and U.S. Air, donated a couple of buildings, but he sent me a check for $1 million. And to build a new museum, and John and Bill wouldn't talk to me, and I had $7 million in pledges to build it. I was going to retire and build it for a hobby.
Right.
And I already had it designed and everything. That's life. Nobody ever said it was fair.
That's what they say. The fair comes around once a year, doesn't it?
But Tom's family did donate a building and a couple of buildings back there. But he was a great friend, and I saved his life once, and he never forgot it.
Really?
He had a heart attack at the hotel, and I kept calling. He didn't answer, and I called the manager and said, go beat on the door and open the door and see if he's all right. This ain't like a gentleman I know.
Mm-hmm.
And he went in, and he was having a heart attack.
Oh, no.
But he and I served on the board at EIA together for a while. That's the only time I flew first class, when I get on an airplane and hit. Tell me to come on up front, sit in the cockpit with me.
Right,
Great people, wonderful people.
That's good. That's great.
The first fly-in, we had people all the way from Canada and Puerto Rico here, and I said that potential is tremendous. We hadn't even touched the surface, and a guy landed from Alberta, Canada, in a homebed. Said there's no potential. You can't believe the potential in the people of love of aviation and people and how they'll come together and join.
And back in 1975, to spread the word is not like, you know, today, that with some of the networking, it's so much easier in the communications.
I had a little secretary that her husband said she's just a housewife that wrote to every address she could find in sport aviation, begging them to come help us.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd write a story on every home builder with pictures and put their name and address in sport aviation, and she wrote hundreds of letters begging them to come, and a lot of them showed up.
It worked, didn't it?
Nobody ever asked us before, you know. But she was one wonderful help, and she passed away many years ago. But God, she was wonderful when we started out to help me get the word out.
Mm-hmm. That is. Now, this building itself here was one of the original buildings you were telling me.
Yeah, Polk County Tourist Development wanted us to have a first-class news center, and they donated the building, and we had news reporters from 120 countries here the first year we opened it.
Very first year.
Oh, they helped me invite people from all over the planet to come over. It was packed.
And that's incredible that they all showed up the first year.
The first year of Center Fund,
and nobody knew what it was going to be like, but they
all
showed.
Well, you get to meet a lot of interesting people, and some you never thought about, like Pappy Boyington at Oshkosh. I used to see him up there all the time, help him get around when he got mixed up with some too strong a drink or something. And then end up down here meeting the Japanese guy that wrote Boo Boo Black Sheep, and I found out he's the guy shot Pappy down over the South Pacific. God, you meet a lot of strange, weird people here, don't you?
I bet they ever get together and
meet. Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah, sure.
Great people.
That's
great
incredible.
People. But you meet so many wonderful people like that. I had it. Great experience. I got to fly all kind of weird stuff I'd have never got a chance to even touch otherwise. And then a friend of mine ended up running National Air and Space Museum. It used to run the Piper plant here. We went to a little interesting story. They asked us, could we come up to Lock Haven? They were thinking about starting an event there and wanted some suggestions. We left Oshkosh and went there and spent 10 days with the mayor and the county commissioner and the local news media and Cal Arter and all the guys at Piper, and helped them plan their first sentimental journey. Met Bill Piper, he was still alive, and Bill begged us to come back and help him start a museum while he's alive, they said, and we helped him get that launched. And then they come to Lakeland, they want us to come up for the event. And the next thing I know, Stuart Millar, who's the founder of the Barcos, the inventor, and he had bought out Piper, and he said, you take a bunch of volunteers and go up there. I said, man, I got a little old triphaser. I can't handle a whole lot. He said, take mine. And he had a Cheyenne 400 LS on the ramp and threw me the keys. He said, take that. Load it down, going up. Three years in a row, Stuart would give us a Malibu and a 400 to haul them up there.
Who were you to say no, right?
I got to fly my first turbojet. Okay. So it was interesting. We met a lot of wonderful people and got a lot of strange experiences. Great. We took a whole plane load or two up and helped Cal Arter start Sentimental Journey. And it's still going good.
Great. That's.
And the county and city made us citizens of Lock Haven and county residents officially on their documents up there. They flew down here, and the mayor came down and wanted to go have a cold one. I took her over to QB tent. That's the only place we could have a cold one. But they're great people. You find a lot of successful people are just down to earth as they can be when you get them with the right environment. Wonderful bunch.
And it's amazing how just your start of Sun and Fun here spread out to where you were helping other, you know, organizations, and then up in Oshkosh, and then in Lock Haven, and how it just continued to spread, and your, you know, your all your wisdom and
wonderful
and, starts. Yep.
It's all about people. Airplanes are just a common answer. Oh, guys. My wife, when she passed, wanted to fly away. She didn't want a funeral. And so we held a celebration for her. And she had people take her ashes back to 24 airports nationwide and worldwide that we helped start events or helped them with air shows or stuff.
And that just tells you how...
One even came along, begged me to get one to fly back to her hometown and scatter over her birthplace up in Buffalo, New York. Well, that's amazing.
It is amazing that they would, you know, all these people, the kindness and generosity, they...
How much they cared about her. Scattered everywhere she visited. She had so many billions of friends. And she loved people.
And it showed, too.
Oh, God, a lot of them loved her.
Yep.
I had many calls from somebody that stuck out here sitting in a chair going to sleep because they had nowhere to go. And she'd, come on, get in the car, I'll take you home with me, and put them to bed.
Put them up for the night. Sure.
Oh, gosh. Great lady. She put up with me for 60 years.
60 years. How about that? And yesterday was a Dare Day, which was a celebration for her.
Yep. They finally recognized all her years of dedication and devotion. She's one whale of a lady.
That's great.
Oh, gosh.
That's great.
Great, great experience. And without Paul Berezny and Audrey, so I didn't get the museum built, the final one here, but I... promised Paul I'd give him $10,000 if he'd go home and stick a shovel in the ground back in 83, and he said, I ain't as young as he used to be. I said, you can still stick a shovel. He went home, had a midair over Tallahassee flying home with Gene Chase flying the P-51 and him and the King Air, and he got down and called to tell me he was safe, and he said, I'm not getting any younger. I better go home and put a shovel in the ground. He said, what do you think? I said, I think he just tossed me 10 grand. So he had a groundbreaking in September, and I called Kermit and asked him would he go up for the groundbreaking, and he did and gave him a check from me.
What a deal. Now, that's a great deal there, isn't it?
Oh, gee, what a piece of history, you know. And then we wanted to build a memorial wing up there, and I was on the board of the SSA, or Sport Aviation Association. Talked Paul into dissolving it and turning the assets over to EAF. They had built a founder's wing, and they agreed. So we built the founder's wing, and I started helping Paul raise money for that, and we raised 120 grand, and that's peanuts for an old wing on the museum.
Sure it is.
And Tommy called and says, I guess I'll shut up and get busy. I just got a check from Australia for $1 million from a guy who kidded about how funny he talked down in Australia when you
he, sure enough, he came through there, didn't he?
Yeah, but we was great friends with those folks down there. They speech I made down there, the first thing I was telling them, they always kid me about talking funny because I'm from the deep south in the USA. I said I never realized how true that was till I got here when you guys really talk funny.
You all talk funny. They might probably want to say that same thing about us.
Oh, yeah, we had a great time there with them people up. God, that was wonderful. Then we went on to New Zealand and met all those folk. Had to go to southern New Zealand and see Cook Mountain because the LSD captain, flying the LSD, the ice guys, got to know him real well. And his grandfather was an explorer, and I got on the radio going to ice guys and heard him talking the next year and told him to call 12345. He called me back, and I said, Captain, you ought to go see your grandfather's mountain. You ought to be ashamed. That's the most beautiful mountains I've ever seen on this planet. So he was planning to go. He's going to bring an SST over here. And then they had that midair over in France and grounded them all, or whatever happened to blew an engine. I hadn't heard from him since. I'd schedule the flybys at Oshkosh, and the captain brought the SST back. Said, people want to photograph it, and you landed. And I said, tomorrow, do a flyby and let them take pictures. The next day he came by and he got into the runway and hit the knobs and he blew the windows out about 12 houses down Lake Winnebago. Me and the EA treasurer rode around all evening writing checks, took a glass contractor with insurance, says, go pay them and we'll reimburse you.
Right.
So we bought windows in 12 different houses south of there, and I told the captain, could you throttle back a little next time?
Not quite so much.
Great guys, though. Great memories. Wouldn't take anything for it.
That is great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have also been joined now by Mr. John Lights Leanhouse.
I got one, too.
And welcome, Rich Weber.
Thanks, Rich.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate that. And Mr. Leanhouse is the current president of Sun and Fun. And it's great for you to have you here and kind of give us an update and catch us up and pick up where Mr. Henderson's been.
Well, I don't know that I could pick up where Billy left off, because that's going to be a pretty large set of shoes to fill. I'm just lucky enough to be here in time to watch this thing start to change course a little bit, maybe, and be part of a better future for Sun and Fun. Kind of going, realistically, trying to go back to what Billy and the crew really envisioned years ago, that it's a grassroots fly-in with a lot of high-tech stuff, but for people that really enjoy aviation, to come enjoy it in a comfortable, more relaxed atmosphere. Sure, you can see the newest stuff that's out there from all the different new aircraft manufacturers, but when the sun kind of settles, it's time to get around the campfire with your buddies and swap stories about how great flying is. And that's the direction we're taking it. And if you notice, you'll see a lot of people running around here with a button that says, how may I help you? Now, I'd love to tell you that that was the first time that's ever been done, but it ain't. They were doing it long before I got here, but they kind of went away from it for a myriad of reasons. And we're going back to some of the basics of what a fly-in's all about. And I think it's working, because I just came down from a helicopter ride, and I was looking down on our field, and lo and behold, there's a line of airplanes so far my eye couldn't track it. The ramps are filling up. If you go east on the field out here, all the general aircraft parking is filled up in the center part, on the south part, and it's moving further east. And you look back on the west side where all the camping's going on, we've already gone as far west as we go, and now we're going south. Are going north as it wraps around the back end of the airfield. And the parking lot is it's filling up rapidly. We're probably about a little over a third of capacity filled up. And the lines going out the front are backed up all the way around every window about 20 deep. And there are also people, this is great. I look down at the EAA tent to join up to get a discount on coming in, and it's as long as the ticket lines. So
that's,
I'm watching this. We're just watching an evolution start to take place here, mm-hmm. with the resurgence of a Southern hospitality fly-in for people that love airplanes.
That's great. It's a great get-together for, like you say, people can meet.
Wait a minute. What's that noise? Oh, my gosh. It's a jet engine. Is that not great or what?
That's right. Well, it is a great opportunity for people to get together and meet and bond, and just like we were talking about Mr. Henderson, how this is a people thing, and it's the planes are just the vehicles that bring them all together.
Yeah, it's Billy's right on the mark with that one. I spoke to this to a group just the other day, that airplanes are interesting, and they provide a great relief of our stresses of life, because when that propeller turns, it blows all your issues away. And it also makes you a better person. Flying has always been a skill that demands every ounce of energy and thought and muscle control. But at the end of the day, it's really the people. Mm-hmm. And it's a special bond of people that do that aviation or are thrilled and excited about aviation that make it happen. And just last night I was finished up the Aaron Tippin concert, and we're going back into the campground. And our new fire hub hadn't been in the ground a day, and it's surrounded. At 10:30 last night, it's surrounded by aviation enthusiasts of all ages, young and old, mm-hmm. in their lawn chairs, fire's raging, and they're just sharing the love of aviation with each other. And that's what it's all about.
That's a great thing. And I was going to ask you about that. You're going to spread maybe 50 more of these.
Well, the goal is, with the Recreational Aviation Foundation, to have one in every state. That's the goal. And I think that's an admirable one, and we're going to help. With AOPA and Sun and Fun and RAF getting together, the first one was inaugurated here with Craig Fuller on Tuesday evening, which was awesome. And like I said, it's already been actively used every night, and it's growing. We're going to change the gate over by that fire so that if you want to fly in here and taxi up, pull your airplane onto the grass, throw up your tent, sit out, share a libation with a friend under a fire, around a fire, and fly out the next day, you'll be able to do it at Sun and Fun all year long, not just during Sun and Fun's big event.
That'll be great. That's great. And that's another great thing about with meeting friends and making new friends. Even after you're not flying, you know, as you age and you're not flying, you still have that friendship and that bond, and just plenty of people that you've met that you can, you know, share other life experiences with and talk with.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's fun when I'm here, even more so in this new capacity of being up on the stagecoach while the team pulls pretty hard. I'm amazed at how many of my friends, my aviation-related friends, are cropping up all over the nation coming in just to see how things are going. That if some of them have never been here and they heard that I was down here and they decided, well, they're going to come check this out. They've loved aviation, but they always go to Oshkosh, which is great, and we really support everybody going there. But I said, well, come down and start your flying year right here. You know, our spring break for pilots are, as we now say, it's where your aviation year begins and never ends. We're focused on bringing people together that love that thrill of flight. And I'm just always amazed that a friend that'll show up here that I may not have seen for 20 plus years, it's like instant renewal of friendship. I was out at the front gate yesterday, just kind of checking things out, making sure registration was going all right and everybody needed anything. And I walked by a guy sitting there on a park bench out front in the shade. And I looked down at him and I said, how you doing, Doug? He looked at me and says, who are you? I pulled my hat and sunglasses off. He said, oh my gosh, that's Lights Lean House. And I said, Doug Knapp, he was a skipper of an A-7 squadron back in the mid-70s, and I hadn't seen him in 30 years. And we just reconnected right there on the spot. And that's what aviation's all about. It's a friendship and the bonds that stand the test of time.
Great.
And like Billy said, it's a common theme of love and respect for flight.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Once everything else is gone, you still have that friendship and you can still continue on. And
it's always
it's
there.
It's incredible. It sure is.
Your volunteers will build it for you if you respect them and allow them to express some of their skills and talents. They love sharing. In fact, the building over there is the first building ever built. And it was antique and classic first building here, and they even volunteers came down and helped us build it. It's moved 3 times from where it was built, but they're
still
here.
Well, it's had a few years to change, hadn't it?
Well, we were talking about moving it again, and somebody said, no, I don't think it can move. Leave it alone. I said, okay, I'm sticking with your plan. It stays right there. So that ain't going to move again. But, you know, speaking of building, we're talking about all kinds of new opportunities here at Sun and Fun that we never envisioned in the past, and that's to grow the flight experience here to a year-round event. And I said, you know, where the aviation year begins and never ends. Well, I had a really good conversation with Rod Hightower of EAA and Craig Fuller of AOPA and with Doug Murphy from the FAA. And I said, why can't we all come together right here on the Sun and Fun campus and let's all pool all of our resources, both financial and volunteer, and let's build ourselves a building that will host all of those great events we'd like to see go on throughout the year, whether it be seminars on safe flying, or maybe it's just experience of great aviators that have already gone before us, or maybe it's young eagles flying, or maybe it's how to, you know, a weekend of how to build a home built, and have a special guy come in and give a little presentation, or maybe it's just a campfire get out, and everybody agrees that's got to be done. I said, you know, we are the largest non-association aviation experience in the world. Everybody else has either memberships, there are clubs. We are non-partisan. We are a 501c3. We are here just to raise money for education for the kids, to help the museum keep going. We're not about trying to get you to buy a membership. We want you to join something in aviation. So that's what we're here. We're a clearinghouse of aviation ideas.
Right.
So why not bring the big entities, AOPA, EAA, FAA, on the Sun and Fun campus and create this mecca that year-round you can come down here and enhance your aviation experience. And if you want to camp out fine, or if you want to sit in there and listen to a seminar on how to fly better, we're going to have it for you.
Yeah, a hub of resources.
A hub of resources. Exactly right.
That'll be great. That would be good. Another reason for people to go flying as well.
That's the whole idea. Give them a destination.
Right.
If I can fly 80 or 100 miles for a $200 hamburger,
right,
maybe I can do it and come down here and hear some great guy like Billy Henderson tell me what it was like in the old days. Because, quite frankly, I'll be very candid. A lot of my experiences in life have been based on somebody else's bad experience.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived through it, and they lived to tell me about it. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to be as dumb as I think I should be.
Absolutely.
They say that advice, you know, what they say about advice, the smart don't need it and the stupid won't use it. Well, I'm in the middle of that, and I ain't so smart, but I'm sure not stupid. And I'll listen to the old guy tell me how not to land with your gear up.
Right.
And so far, knock on wood, it's done me pretty well.
Right.
Fast. He's getting it figured out. Yeah, boy, the inspiration, though, as you say, started with EAA, of course, and then the first fly-in here, Cliff Robertson, Dean and Merle came over, and I find out people are all pretty much alike. We sat on the north side and had roasted weenies, and he spent the weekend here with us. I said, you know, famous people are just like everybody else. They just have a particular niche where they've been recognized. Cliff turned out to be great friends. And met so many people like that from kids starting out. I was telling them I flew over 400 kids in my little airplanes for a cancer society. And then I was on the board at Oshkosh when we founded the Young Eagle program and helped them get that going. And it's been touched a lot of lives.
You don't realize sometimes how many lives you've touched, Billy, and and that goes for all the volunteers. You know, the volunteers that are here every day are communicating in some form or fashion with all those guests that we have. And this is about them. This is really about making it better for those people that are interested in aviation and want to come here. And just all it takes is one small conversation with a 14, 15-year-old kid, and you could spark a change in his life.
Yep, an interest.
Yeah. Well, now I got to go because I'm going to go meet with a new FAA administrator. He was appointed just on Wednesday. He hasn't been confirmed, but I've got to go meet him, and we're going to talk about the future of Sun and Fun and FAA, AOPA, and EAA.
And a lot of great things that we can look forward to.
Absolutely. Thank you all very much.
Get
I got to go.
Get on the phone, Paul, sometime. Let you two visit, because he couldn't make it this year. Him and Audrey missed the first time in all these
We invited
years.
Him down, gave him the package, but maybe next year.
If you get up there, you can come by and see me, because he'll have a bottle of Kessler's and a golf cart waiting on me.
I'll see you there in July.
Darren and I worked there 39 years helping him build that place.
That's great. Well, thank you.
Thank you so very much, Billy. We keep up the great work. We're going to see you regularly now.
Mr. John Light's Lean House, we appreciate you coming by.
Yes, sir. Thank you all very much.
Great.
We'll see you later.
Thanks.
Well, that's great. It's a lot more history to add to the show. And
I could bore you all day, but it's more than you could handle. You don't have enough film.
No, that's, I tell you what, it's, you know what, once
you,
and everybody,
thank you so much.
It's an interest for everybody. You know, it's great to hear these kind of stories and history and where we've been and where it's going and some of the adventures and things that you've had and how it's come back to you and all the people and all their gracious, you know, friendships.
And my life to enrich it, mine and my wife's. You know, all these years she worked while I talked.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had a great helper though.
Last year I was here, I had 400 workshops and forums in a week.
Good grief.
From people all over the world. Building, restoring, instructions,
sure.
Plans.
Well, that's incredible, though, that you were able to bring all those people in.
In fact, it's been a great experience for me. I love it to death, and I love the people that do it. It's been great. Great experience. I wouldn't change a thing.
Absolutely. Well, it just makes it incredible that you
don't
can...
Don't
you... That's right. Don't
Thanks
shoot.
For inviting us over. That's
well,
nice
we're sure
second.
Glad to
I'm
have
glad
him.
You got John over for a while. He seemed like a real personable guy.
I think so, and seems like he's going to try to, you know, get a lot more positive things
well,
done.
Well, he's
here
got
and
a love for aviation, and that's what it takes, and he loves people.
It is. It helps with general aviation
love
as
both.
Well.
You can't love just one or the other.
And keeping it going. That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's great that you were able to take the time to show up and talk with us and spend some time and share some experiences and We look forward to talking with you again.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
Good seeing all you guys.
Yes, sir. Mr. Billy Henderson, the founder of Sun & Fun. I'm Rich Weber, your host for the FA Production Studios. We're here at Sun & Fun 2012 on the back porch of the Seaplane Pilots Association, and we will talk to you again soon.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.